As elsewhere in the world, the last few years have seen record temperatures, drought, and wildfires in the USA, some of the long-predicted consequences of man-made global warming. But surprising numbers of Americans still maintain that scientific proof of climate change is either exaggerated or part of a sinister plot to control their lives. This two-part film goes in search of some of those already affected by the searing heat and those who stubbornly refuse to accept the evidence in front of their eyes.
Summer, prompted by some of the highest recorded temperatures in its history, large parts of the United States have been devastated by drought. But 2022 isn't unique. It's been like this for several years now. Searing heat waves, dried up rivers and reservoirs, huge wildfires, all the devastating consequences of global warming that scientists have been warning about for decades. What is different about 2022 is that this might be the year that the U.S. government began to take climate change seriously. In early August, President Joe Biden signed into law a spending bill that, among other provisions for health care and tax reform, will commit almost $370 billion to tackling the climate crisis and reducing the carbon emissions of the world's largest economy.
This bill will kickstart the era of affordable clean energy in America. It's a game changer, it's a turning point, and it's been a long time in coming.
But what remains to be seen is whether the initiative will do anything to change the hearts and minds of those Americans who still refuse to accept that global warming is real, or convince them they should change the way they live and do business. This is the Utah desert, where temperatures routinely exceed 40 degrees Celsius every summer. And this is Cameron Knudsen, a real estate developer.
Yeah, we're actively in construction. We're starting about 11 houses up here currently, and we just started another 58 up. It's a full city. We have a commercial section. We're gonna have a school, churches, all those things.
Soon, 30,000 people will be living here. The first have already moved in, drawn by the development's centerpiece attraction.
Especially with the lockdown and things, there's not a better place to be in lockdown than on a golf course.
These acres of pristine green grass are watered several times a day. It's an 18-hole golf course with a lake on hole 9. And an artificial stream at the start.
A lot of people like getting married on golf courses. They're very beautiful pictures. You know, being by water and grass and everything in the middle of the desert, it gives it a very unique feel.
It's an incongruous site in the heart of a state which has recently been hit this by some of the worst droughts in its history. The local laws allow Cameron to take all the groundwater he needs.
Yeah, this is the whole pump.
If he builds his own well.
So this is where the well is.
And how much water is?
I think it's in gallons per minute, and I think it's like 200, 200 gallons per minute.
In fact, that's likely not enough. The more construction like this there is, the more pressure falls on scarce resources elsewhere.
So this unit was barely completed.
Unlike the golf course, these houses will draw their drinking water from a neighboring city's already depleted water reserves. Yet for now, profits are all that matter here.
This site is 1.7 million, and then the small site's 1.3, if you want to buy it. If you want to rent it, I think it's about $1,500 a night per side. Each unit has their own hot tub and pool down this entire line. So these are some water laminars. They just squirt water into the pool. Then you have a long lap pool and a hot tub.
In the face of some of the worst water shortages the U.S. has ever seen, many may wonder if projects like this are appropriate. But Cameron shrugs off any concerns.
So the question is, there a better solution for water, which is tell everyone to stop living here? So that's, I guess we could tell everyone in the Middle East that too, because they don't have water, so don't find water and don't produce water. Just don't live there anymore. So we all have to move to Iceland, I guess. I don't know.
It reflects an argument that continues to divide America, caught between the reality of a climate emergency and a desire to keep business going at all costs. Meanwhile, the U.S., like the rest of the world, just keeps getting warmer. In 2021, the United States recorded its hottest ever summer as temperatures reached unbearable levels and hundreds of thousands of acres of forest burned.
It's getting closer to town.
This year, it's the same. Lakes and rivers are drying up.
Kind of strange that someone living in America without water.
Yet much of the country is still in denial. Hotels, casinos, golf courses still contribute to the depletion of water supplies. Climate change skeptics continue to find a receptive audience.
There are more polar bears right now on the Earth than ever before. They're doing great.
Meanwhile, when resources come under pressure, conspiracy theories thrive.
They got a plan. They control the water, they control the people.
So will it ever be possible for Americans to reach consensus about a crisis that most see all too plainly, yet others believe is either exaggerated or a sinister plot to restrict their freedoms? In this two-part report, we've been in search of answers to a question that's never seemed more urgent.
We cannot live in a world that is getting this hot. No, it's like the Titanic heading for the iceberg. We don't have time to screw around.
Death Valley, California. It's long been one of the hottest places in the United States. But now, its increasingly savage temperatures are attracting tourists looking for selfies.
We've never been here before, and we've always wanted to come here, and it's so cool.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah. But it is getting hotter. I feel like around the world, it's just all getting hotter.
When we were filming, the temperature was just about bearable, between 42 and 44 degrees. But it's been getting much warmer. And the greater the heat, the more impressive the photos to share on social media.
Look at that. Yeah, yes. It's hot. Let's go.
Hundreds of such pictures have appeared online in recent months, often with humorous remarks attached. Whether it's 55 degrees, 56, or even 59, for many, this is global warming, enjoyed as a holiday experience, rather than something terrifying. But at least it reflects reality. Elsewhere in the country, others have yet to be convinced that global warming is real. It's Sunday morning in Fort Mill, South Carolina, a city dominated by this huge complex. It's home to a Christian organization, Morningstar Ministries, and includes a university campus, businesses, a hotel, and a church. In the latter, a service is taking place. Despite its historically high temperatures, the U.S. continues to be the most climate change skeptical country in the West. To a large extent, that reflects the current partisan nature of American politics. Around 56% of Republican voters say they don't believe in global warming, a constituency that's clearly reflected by the Morningstar congregation. Their pastor, Rick Joyner, has been preaching climate skepticism for years. And he's the author of several books on the subject. His audience pays close attention.
I believe the whole climate change thing, which I do believe is a ruse, I believe it's more politically motivated. And I have been praying for scientists, praying for science. You know, there's fake science just like there's fake news and fake everything else now. When politics get in, it gets corrupted. Now, that's part of the judgment of God. He is going to restore the earth to the paradise it was originally created to be.
His message, which he later comes out to share with us, is simple. Trust in God.
Read my book.
Climate change isn't happening, and don't believe those who say it is.
Agree with me on everything.
We have had for centuries, for the whole history of man, there have been hurricanes and all this stuff to say this has happened because of climate change. It makes them look silly, makes them look ridiculous, and a lot of people just get turned off. They're a bunch of nuts.
But the problem for America's climate change skeptics is that facts are undeniably facts. And what is now universally accepted science can't be just wished away. Global warming is accelerating at an unprecedented rate because of human activities, and the consequences are now everywhere to be seen. In the summer of 2021, California was hit by a huge wave of wildfires. In the space of a few months, over 400,000 hectares of forest were destroyed. Trees, scrub, and wildlife weren't the only casualties. Dozens of people were killed or injured. Thousands more were forced to leave their homes. Teresa and Don lived in Greenville, a small community of around 1,000 people in the northern part of the state. One evening in August 2021, their settlement found itself in the path of an oncoming blaze.
I just can't believe our town went up like that.
It moved real fast. It went through that town quick.
And this is what it was looking like. This was just before the sheriff pulled up and told us, you guys need to get out of town. This fire is coming down into town.
Powerless to stop the imminent disaster, the couple could only watch and film as the flames drew near.
This is
getting closer.
I can hear timber just blowing up.
Yep.
They have helicopters going crazy on it.
That's right out. Look at this fucking.
Look
right
at
here.
This one right here. This one right here. It's not looking pretty.
Within a couple of hours, the whole town had been almost completely destroyed. The intense flames had made it impossible for the emergency services to prevent catastrophe. Today, for the first time since the fire, Teresa and Don are being allowed back to their home to see the damage.
The first time we got evacuated, you know, I've been stressed since then. We didn't have insurance. We didn't, you know, we rented the place, no rentals insurance, and now we got to figure out where we're going to live. You know, we got to start your life over again.
As they get closer to the town, the devastation becomes more and more evident. First, they are to attend a meeting with the local county sheriff and about 30 other Greenville residents.
So first off, I just want to thank everyone for being able to come. I know this was difficult. I wanted to give you folks an opportunity to actually go to your residences and look and see how things are there, video it if you want, take some pictures and try to start the healing process.
This is what Greenville looked like before the fire. And this is what is left of it now. Amid the ruins of their old home, Teresa and Don are hoping to find some possessions.
That's just sad. Looks like a bomb went off in our town.
They've lost almost everything.
Zuck, my dad's tools, babe.
It's gonna be somewhere in here.
Like, my dad just passed away and I had all of his stuff in here, so. I mean, it wasn't the most fabulous home, but it was home for us, you know? He just had screws and stuff. These little cans are pretty tough.
It's all that can be found of their former life here.
The memories that you have are gone, so.
Now they are reliant on the kindness of others. Part of a Native American community, their tribe is housing them temporarily in a hotel room.
This laundry basket and this laundry basket and that laundry basket is pretty much all we made it out with. And our dogs. We
got approved for another week, and we know we're good for until Monday, and then we'll see what they say from there. But we're looking for a travel trailer to move into, and we want to put it up that in that area.
The couple are getting only limited welfare support. As elsewhere, the effects of climate change are often felt most by those who can least afford it. In another part of California, the extreme temperatures mean many low-pay farm workers are having to change to night shifts. This is near Dunnigan, an agricultural town in the north of the state. Some of California's best wine is produced here on immense vineyards that cover the plain. But today, in the middle of the harvest period, the fields are empty. The searing heat makes work impossible.
Ayer y ahora estuvo muy caliente. Se siente más fresquito también si mojamos poquito la tierra para que esté fresquito. Para que no se sienta el vapor caliente de la tierra. Sí.
It's over 40 degrees in the shade during the day and 28 at night. Virginia does everything she can to keep the temperature down. During the day, she takes care of her two little girls by herself.
Elsa. Ahora está durmiendo porque salió tarde de trabajar. Entonces está durmiendo, pero yo pienso que ella casi se va a despertar porque a las 5:30 tiene que salir a trabajar.
Jose, her husband, is a farm worker. For the last 6 years, during the six hottest summer months, he has been working at night, when the temperatures drop. During the day, he tries to rest as best he can. The family do their best to keep things cool, but it's still 25 degrees inside the house.
Este es el aire que tenemos, pero no enfrían exactamente bien como uno quisiera. Enfría bien poquito. Y con la caliente de la estufa se siente más caliente aquí porque es una casa viejita, una casa que no tiene insolación. Tengo este otro. Entonces, para que enfríe un poco la casa, son cuatro aires que tengo que prender y jala mucha, mucha energía. Y a veces tienen que estar mínimo 8 horas prendido, o a veces más de 8 horas, 10 horas, el tiempo que estemos en la casa para que enfríe un poco la casa.
The air conditioning and fans cost around $250 a month, a lot of money for a low-income family.
Más, papi.
Más?
It means Jose has to work even harder to pay the bills.
Pero cuando trabajo de noche, casi no me queda tiempo porque cuando me levanto se me hace tarde, pongo alarma y me voy nomás. Me despido de ella, les doy un beso y me voy. No paso nada con tiempo con ella.
At 5 p.m., his day begins.
¿Me hacen caso a su mamá, okay?
Night work is becoming routine here. In part, this is because 800 workers have died of heat in the United States in the last 20 years. But it's also because the machines can't run in the extreme daytime temperatures.
¿Cuántos andan aquí? ¿Cuatro o cinco?
Cuatro.
¿Cuatro? Mucho, mucho peligroso. Tengo que estar muy alerta, muy volteando a ver para todos los lados. Ya se ha volteado tractores y gondolas en las noches. El terreno está muy feo y me ha tocado ver que se han volteado la gondola y los tractores. Maybe 10, 12, 14. Si la máquina se descompone, le pasa algo a la máquina o al tractor, son más horas.
With the temperatures rising so much, Jose is unlikely to see his work schedule change. And industries other than farming are also now being affected. California's salmon industry is one of them. In midsummer 2021, as rivers began to dry up, the state had to arrange for almost 17 million fish to be taken by truck to the sea. The routes they would normally follow were no longer navigable. In the same month as forest fires blazed, firefighters began wrapping the state's famous thousand-year-old redwoods in aluminum to protect them from the heat. Elsewhere in Central California, farmers began tearing down thousands of fruit trees because there was insufficient water to irrigate them. In one reservoir near Los Angeles, state officials even tried covering the water with millions of small black plastic balls to prevent evaporation. Desperate measures for desperate times. But if some of these decisions are unusual, in Las Vegas, in neighboring Nevada, the response to water shortages seems almost perversely contradictory. In the city's outer suburbs, patrols now monitor the streets to limit water misuse. Perry Kay is one of the officials.
I'm always looking for evidence. I work 4 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon, but we have people out here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm right there. See that one there? We've got a violation right here. Okay.
He's here to enforce a simple rule. While it's okay to have a sprinkler on your lawn, the water can't hit the sidewalk.
Waterways Investigator 7158. Time is now 7:55 a.m. 26 of August. I have a broken sprinkler. This water's spraying off, causing runoff, and this one is broken, causing the runoff. Over here, the same thing. This one is misaligned. This is misaligned and is hitting the sidewalk, causing the runoff. Misaligned sprinklers.
The offenders receive 2 warnings before being sanctioned. A 3rd violation means a fine of $80. After Perry delivers the ticket, the owner of the house arrives.
How you doing, sir? Waterways Investigator. This sprinkler over here is broken, and it was running off into the property. You need to adjust the sprinklers to keep the water on the sidewalk. Yeah, that one there is too is broken as well. So the ones in the corners are broken. That's what's causing that. Yeah.
A simple tap of the foot.
There you go. Okay, you fixed it.
A smile.
He's in actually good shape. You are no longer in violation except for that broken one.
And that's the end of Perry Kay's shift.
All right. Thank you. If you need us, call us.
The Las Vegas authorities insist that these patrols drastically limit water wastage. But meanwhile, no one seems to be policing the city's huge casino hotels, or clearing the gondolas from its artificial canals, or turning off the giant fountains that spray tons of water every day. In truth, the city is an ecological catastrophe, a money-making machine in the dry Mojave Desert. It arguably couldn't exist at all were it not able to draw water from Lake Mead, 30 miles away, which, as the right of this satellite picture shows, has steadily shrunk as the city has grown over the past 30 years. Back then, the lake was full to the white line on the rocks. Now, every year, its levels fall. To some, a glaring metaphor for America's reluctance to fully acknowledge global warming over those same 3 decades.
They also have to do cuts. I mean, people don't like to do cuts, but they have to do cuts in between. So if you do have a fire and it gets away, you'll have a 50-yard cut in between, so it won't be able to catch to the other side. They don't do that. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
Right, so with so much evidence of climate change to hand, why are so many Americans still so reluctant to accept the facts?
We obviously feel very strongly that
if we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
I wish.
You just watch.